Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After the Film. This month, we are talking about Captain Marvel, the latest film in the MCU universe, and I actually have friends with me. I've assembled my own team for this episode. We have one familiar voice, that's Andrew Sale. Andrew, say hello.
Hey, everybody.
Andrew is the host, well, he's the co-host on Pop Culture Roundtable, but he's also the host of the art department, and he's got another episode coming out next week. I'll go and tease that. And then I also have another voice you might be familiar with. That's Mr. Zach Wilkinson. Zach?
Hello, my beautiful Flurkins.
Yeah, that means nothing to me. It didn't. Okay, and Zach is the host of Creatoring, and Zach Creatoring is about to start back up, correct?
I hope so. Got about five episodes in the tank, so they better come out soon.
There you go. So there's more content out there. So when you finish listening to this, you still have to wait because
just
neither
wait.
Of those things are ready. So it's easy. All right. So Captain Marvel, this is the latest film in the MCU. In fact, it is arguably the 21st film. There's some that we choose to maybe not acknowledge, but
some an incredible one we won't count.
Right. That makes me angry.
Wow.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good.
Man.
21st film, and this is directed by Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden. It's a 2-hour long film, pretty standard fare. It's PG-13, which you would expect. Mm-hmm. And a great cast. So the four primary... Oh, as I'm going to say that, I realize I'm going to withhold one name. So I will say the three primary people, and I'm going to keep one away from you. We had a bit of a debate before we started the show about whether or not it was a spoiler or not a spoiler. In order to be safe, I'm just going to withhold for now. But, of course, Brie Larson out front, who plays Captain Marvel, Carol mm-hmm. Danvers. And she is, a very powerful force in this film. Samuel L. Jackson obviously plays Fury.
With a fully formed personality for the first time in most of his movies.
And
yeah,
really great de-aging. Very, very good de-aging. There were times where I was really watching closely because I looking for the uncanniness and things like that. Just very well done. In fact, I assume it is Samuel L. Jackson's son that is actually playing the part, and they just lent his voice.
Samuel M. Jackson.
I like to imagine it's just been going through the alphabet.
Just one letter later in the alphabet.
And then Jude Law, who we've already seen in all the promos. There is another very large character, both in terms of screen time and star power, but I'm gonna withhold that from now. We'll actually, to go and let you know, there will be a follow-up episode we're dropping immediately after this one. So if you allow this episode to play through and iTunes to start auto-playing your next episode, we will do a spoiler-ridden kind of deep dive into the film. But for this episode, we're going to keep all of that out of here. All right, so even though this is another Marvel film, we've already had a lot of films to compare this to and to judge it against. And even though we feel like we have a pretty good idea of what we're getting into whenever we see one of these films, there are some notable differences in Captain Marvel that set it apart from previous films. Andrew, after the film and before this show, we were talking a bit about the usage of practical effects. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think with Avengers Infinity War, well, the entire MCU as a whole, but specifically with Avengers Infinity War, we saw a heavy use of CG. Now, really, really well done CG, but main characters like Thanos being completely CG motion capture and all these things, and that's obviously very prevalent in most modern day films. This movie was a little bit different. All of the Skrulls are totally practical, practical makeup, practical effects, and it's oddly refreshing. And I kind of honed in on it because it felt more tangible and more real. But then I was thinking about the fact this film takes place in the 90s, and there's various other components to this film in how it's shot, in how the soundtrack and the which is leaps and bounds different than most of these other MCU films, but just the practical effects, the soundtrack, the way they shot, you know, the cinematography, it had a feel of being 90s, you know, not dated, but just had this nostalgic feel of like, yeah, This all rings true for what the time frame that this movie is trying to depict. And for me, it was refreshing.
On the other side of the coin, you're mentioning practical effects. I would say that the use of CGI continues to improve. I mean, certainly it's a game of margins and making small changes and small increments. And then over a long period of time, it ends up being very large changes. But I think smoke texture, atmosphere, like particles, and not just particles, but also kind of like trash and things that are in the atmosphere, dirt and rocks, and all these type of things that you experience, especially when you're dealing with something that's takes place partly in space, or you're dealing with something that's, you know, these fight scenes that are kicking up dirt and kind of like kicking around the terrain. I feel like that stuff has come a very long way from the past films that we've seen. And so a few of those things just felt extra beautiful and extra well done in this film. Andrew, you also, I know you briefly touched on the soundtrack just now, but is it just the use of the 90s music that you enjoyed, or is it also the way it built tension and things like that?
I think they did an incredible job of, and much like they kind of introduced with Guardians of the Galaxy, and in a lot of ways, Guardians of the Galaxy's soundtrack was its own character in the film. This, in a lot of ways, felt the same way. I don't think the movie would have played the same if the whole thing was just cinematic scores. Without giving anything away, there are anthems, 90s anthems that carry the visually. There's lots of stunning things happening on screen, but that carry the emotional burden of some of these scenes in the film. And if they hadn't leaned into this like mixtape, this 90s mixtape for this, the movie would have not only been completely different, but it would have suffered.
Question this weekend is Captain Marvel worth your time and money, and maybe if it's not worth your money, whose money is it worth? Because this is not a small budget. Marvel has a lot of people to pay. So Zach, I actually want to put that question to you first. Broadly speaking, who's this film for?
I would say it's for like we were joking earlier about, is it for 16-year-old boys? Is it for small impressionable daughters? Is it for comic book fans who grew up in the 90s reading this stuff? It's hard to nail down one genre. The screening that we were at tonight, I went to a 7 o'clock opening screening. I had my 7-year-old daughter, my 5-year-old son, Bethany came with us, and I sat next to a 24-year-old guy who brought his grandma, who's got to use two crutches to walk around, his dad, his mom, and the whole theater was full of that stuff. I think if you are even mildly interested in superhero movies or buddy cop films, you'll like this movie.
Andrew, same thing. Is this a movie worth spending money on?
It absolutely is. It delivered on something that I didn't even know I wanted from this film. And it surprised me. I think I was going into it with expectations for sure. And it's, this is, you know, the next step in this, or the last step before Avengers Endgame. And so there's a lot of questions going into this. How much is it going to reveal? How much is this going to, you know, I jokingly said to the woman as we were going in, and when we were getting our tickets and everything, and she said, "Are you excited about the film?" And I said, "Let's just be honest. We're all here for the stinger." Because that's all the second the movie started, I was wondering how it was going to end. Right. But it absolutely is. And like Zach said, I think there's something for everybody. And I didn't know Captain Marvel's story going into it, so I didn't have a lot of preconceived notions about her as a character. But the thing you just said, Zach, about the buddy cop thing, absolutely 100% true. And I loved the film for it.
So I will offer one issue that I think you should be aware of, depending on who you're taking. Now, because we are so deep, because we are you know, on the verge, knocking on the door of two dozen films, and we will be there by the end of this year, we have a lot of open threads. We have a lot of people we've been introduced to, a lot of story we've been introduced to. We are firmly jumping around timelines. And because of that, if you were to drop yourself in today, if this was like, let's say I saw a film 2 years ago and now I'm going to jump in and see a film today, see Captain Marvel, it would be very easy to miss out on a portion of the film because you haven't kept that thread. It's not to say you won't enjoy it. I mean, it will be somewhat stunted. It is still a complete film. It still can exist as a standalone. You can go watch it and still have a great time, but just understand that you are going to be missing something. And the longer you wait to jump on this train, it's just potentially the more you're missing out on. I do wonder, what does it look like another year down the road, or another 2 years down the road? Does it just become unintelligible to somebody that is trying to step in for the first time? And it's a pretty big barrier to catch up at this point. So that's my only thing that I would say be aware of. Outside of that, I do think it was a great film. I had a lot of fun watching it. Go ahead and go see it. You may not even, at this point, if you haven't bought tickets, you might have trouble seeing it this weekend. It's possible that it's sold out at several places. I know that our theaters were all packed. But do go see it when you get a chance to see it. And Zach, as you mentioned, take anybody and everybody. I mean, I don't think there's anyone.
Nobody's off the table for this one.
Yeah, there's no one that's not going to enjoy the film. All right, so that's it for Captain Marvel. What we're going to do now, again, if you stick around, if you listen to the next episode that's coming up, we're going to jump into spoilers. We're going to deep dive into some parts of the film. And so, you know, listen at your own risk, at your own peril. Outside of that, the next after the film will feature Pet Sematary. So that'll be coming up the first week of April. And we'll have another one, obviously, coming at the end of April, which is going to be Endgame, which will be gigantic, and I'm sure we'll do a bit larger episode for that. Go find a screen and sit in front of it.